Just lucky, thanks. I'll stand at the bar. I shouldn't wish to attract attention.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
You're gonna eat lightning, you're gonna crap thunder.
We're friends to the end, remember?
You're unbearably naive.
Well, I was born yesterday.
I'm gonna make this pencil disappear.
Ta-da! Swallow this.
Long live the king.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
On. Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. How's the con for you so far? So we have Dante Basco and Janet Varney here. I think you guys all know who they are. We demand that we get two sets of applause. That's why.
Yes. Hello, you guys. How y'all doing?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
How's the con been so far?
Nice. Everyone's been so cool. I mean, I see some people I've already met.
Yeah, we have a pretty loaded room here today.
I'm close to being able to just hold this, but I guess I think I'm going to do that too, honestly.
I'm going to do this.
Almost. What if I
just pull it?
A fire broke out today.
Do you want this? Do you want this one?
I'll just pull forward.
Okay. All right. So.
Yes.
Prince Zuko.
Hi.
Avatar Korra.
Hello.
Hello. So I grew up, I can't even say grew up, my son was like two when I watched Avatar The Last Airbender, and Zuko was actually my favorite.
Yeah!
I have to tell you.
I love Zuko too, he's such a good guy.
and then I got my son into it. Oh, nice!
Oh, wow. Very cool. Are they
like when he was two? Or
no,
did
he's
you
18
wait
now.
A
yeah,
bit
he's
longer?
18.
Are they firebenders? Any of them Fire Nation? Or?
I think he would be.
Okay.
We haven't
Fire
talked
Nation
about
house.
It. And then we have The Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
Now.
We do have an avatar in our presence. So,
but yeah. let's play this out. Air Nomads?
Air Nomads.
Air Nomads? Let's hear you. Let's hear you. Give
air
us
nomads?
Some love.
No air nomads.
Zero representation for the air nomads.
Earth Kingdom.
Earth Kingdom.
Shout out to Earth Kingdom.
Shout out to the Water Tribe.
Wow. Hold up.
Okay.
Is there any Fire Nation in the house?
That's me.
That's pretty good.
I guess
the Water Tribe got it. I mean, we're by the ocean.
Yeah.
We're by the ocean.
Sure.
Good people, Water Tribe are good people.
Let me ask you this. Where do you feel like we would need to be for
Fire Nation?
Inside a volcano?
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Yeah. But also surrounded by water.
Water. I mean, the Fire Nation, for some reason, we're such a dominant nation.
Uh-huh.
But we choose to be in the water.
Yep.
Like we have
We'd
a great
love to be
Navy.
In that water.
We just want to be surrounded by our biggest nemesis at all times.
Yeah, practice fire on that ship.
Yeah, and we have a wooden ship.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're Fire Nation. We don't care if the world's against us. We are going to dominate with wooden ships in the ocean.
Are they all wooden, or is that just your old ship that you ended up with?
I mean, I got my dad's old boat.
Yeah.
That's all he gave me.
Bless. There you go. This is basically our podcast. This is what
Dante
and I do on Raving
the Elements. That's what I was going to say. You guys have a podcast. And how many of you out there watch? Listen?
It's a listen
podcast. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, Brave the Elements is a podcast we've been doing for a few years now. We started during COVID.
Yeah, started during COVID.
But now Janet Varney, she created the show. She's OG podcaster from back in the day. The first podcast I think I ever did was hers, which is called the JV Club. And so she brought me along on this journey, on this podcast journey, which has been amazing.
It's been so fun. And we, you know, we both like have like other things happening in our lives, but
yes.
Then we would go to cons together and we would do panels like this, and people would ask us questions about the Avatarverse, and we'd be like, God, I know this, but it's been a minute.
Yes, but
and
now
we're
watching,
like, no more.
We're watching the show, and we're going, for people that have not listened to the podcast, we go from episode to episode. We just finished book two this last season. We're about to start book three, but we're going episode to episode, deep dive, and we get amazing guests like the creators Mike and Brian, all the cast members from Jack DeCenter, who played Sokka, to Michaela Murphy, who played Tom, everybody, and then also animators, also music, also fans that are come in and share their points of view on the show. And we have like great fun kind of contests and like game show things we do.
Yeah.
And so we are getting our PhD. Our PhD.
Mm-hmm. We're going to share
Avatartronics. I didn't go to college, so
Avatarversonics. I think you're right. I think we've never said this before, but I think today here we are deciding for the first time that we will only earn one PhD.
We'll share it.
We will split between us. You can be Doc, I'll be Tor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jen is like the straight A student from the class with all the answers before.
It's so annoying.
Hand up.
I get so excited.
I'm the kid in the back of the class that kind of, you know, I watched the episode.
You
and I have some points of view. I have a point of view.
No, you do. You say that. You're always like, I don't know. What am I, Farney, what am I going to bring to this one? And then you just like drop some truth bombs about things in the episode that I didn't notice. And then I'm like, damn it, he's that good.
There's a lot going on.
He's just
on.
Naturally that good.
And then we get to talk to our dads.
Talk to our
two dads, Mike and Brian. They shoot down all of our ideas.
That's because I've asked so many times. And was this inspired by the 1984 movie Tron?
They don't ship Zutara. They told me that several times.
Yeah, but
sorry, Dante. That's not how it's supposed to go.
A lot of the writers on the show
did
ship Zutara, and we've heard on the podcast. We have. It's not just every episode of the show. We have every other episode. It's like 44 episodes for the first season because we have so many deep dives that aren't about an individual episode. And we definitely had writers saying they were fights being fought. I see Janie here in the first row.
Went back and forth.
Wearing her Zutara shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. No, you could ship it.
Why'd they make it so good?
So, yeah. Were you guys fans of the...
So sorry, Janie.
No, I mean, this is... I think they don't want to hear me talk.
We're just talking.
No,
were you fans of the show before...
There was no show before I came to the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely was, but this one didn't know...
We didn't know what we were doing. I didn't even think the show was going to go.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, like, we're actors, and we work on a lot of things on camera, voiceover, especially voiceovers. You do pilots, and there's a lot of great people with a lot of great ideas. And of course, you're so stoked to get any job as an actor. And, like, we're going to do this. But originally, when I did the first pilot for Avatar, even our first full season, it was like, this isn't Nickelodeon. Like, what are they doing?
Right.
Because you, as an actor, you might know too many. Like, you walk in, you're like, you know, you walk into Nickelodeon, there's Double Dare slime on the building. This is like back in the day, right? And then there's murals, 20, 30 foot murals of SpongeBob and Cat Dog and all the classic stuff. You're like, I love Nickelodeon for that. And it's so beautiful and so many, like, you know, it's like walking around a candy store. And then they give you a script. And it's like some epic anime-inspired Asian thing. And I get this character, because they give you a drawing of the character you're going to voice. And it's some dude with a ponytail.
And a horrible burn.
A horrible burn on his face doing a kick. And I'm like, what the? I'm like looking at the producers like, this is cool that y'all are doing this and everything. This is never going to make it on air. Not on Nickelodeon. No way. I'm like, this is not Disney XD. This ain't Crunchyroll. What are we doing? And so, you know. And what's crazy is, like, they've done the Avatar verse. They did Avatar, then did Korra. But they haven't done anything remotely.
Yeah, it's not like, and that cracked open the whole new way that Nickelodeon
like
is.
Like, Nickelodeon's
now
doing anime.
Like yeah.
No,
right.
They're not. They're not doing that. They're still doing Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. But guess what? Avatar Studios.
Yeah, Avatar Studios.
We shall see, friends. We shall see.
So, if you guys have any questions for them, there is a mic over there. If you want to, you can line up
behind
it.
Please.
But Jenny, you said you were a fan.
Yeah, and when that happens, you have to check out on that fandom because you can't let that part of your brain play while you're auditioning
you guys,
for something.
Your whole gang.
Yeah.
Our gang didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Our gang knew but felt the tremendous pressure
right.
of coming off of that show.
A cool gang.
But luckily, everyone loved The Legend of Korra.
Yes.
No. That's okay.
No, hold up.
We know the truth.
I mean, I also came back in Korra, which is cool. I get to play my grandson, General Iroh II.
So good.
And,
what a great choice.
It was cool to go visit the new gang.
Yeah.
I did feel like an elder statesman. I felt like a college student going back to high school to tell the varsity team, like, hey, we already won state championships. I know you guys are going to win it too, but we did it one time already.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating to kind of come back and see you guys and do your thing. And so, just the world's now you're going to get to come back and see a new gang do their thing. You could be one of the cool kids, one of the cool older kids.
Yeah, I'll make him kiss the ring.
He didn't do that.
There was no ring. He did not do that.
No, I was, because I'm not an avatar. I'm just
That's right.
a lowly Fire Nation general.
Too even.
He was my favorite, though.
Oh, so good.
We do
so
have
good.
Audience questions. What's your name?
I'm Eve.
Hello.
What's up, Eve? Is that a Katara? Are you doing like?
Yeah, Eve's like rocking this sort of like. Yeah, I could go out and grab a sandwich, and I'm still Katara. It's so good.
Casual costume.
Streetwear.
Bottle cap.
It's a bottle cap. That blew
That's
my
genius.
Mind.
That's genius.
Awesome.
It's beautifully painted.
Thank
it's
you.
So
I had
great.
That necklace for a while.
Just a little bit.
I had it for a while. You know.
Yeah.
I gave it back.
Yeah, you gave it back.
I gave it back.
After using it to, you know, track them down.
Yes. It had uses, but I did give it back.
Track them down sounds so harsh. keep track of them.
Yeah. So my question is, will there be an episode of the podcast that talks about how Korra really paved the way for LGBTQ representation in kids' cartoons?
Yes.
And the challenges that the creators faced to make that happen.
For sure,
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Korra feels so far away, especially because we've been waiting for our record dates to start for
book three. I can't wait.
And then
wait.
Book four of Korra feels so far away, but there's so much I want to talk about now, you know?
I haven't seen, she knows, I haven't seen the whole Korra. I mean, I've seen my episodes.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't like experienced it from top to bottom, and I'm holding and waiting it for us to go through on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we'll definitely, no doubt about it. I mean, there are people I definitely have my eye on that I'm like, we got to get, you know, a certain someone who, you know, maybe brought back a certain show that now is very Etrodora-ish. Like, you know, people who have openly said, or like Owl House folks, like people who have openly said, you know, this opened the door for me to feel like I could, you know, make my show this way. Then I'm like, we got to get those people in to talk about
it. It was such a big deal. I remember watching it at like on the day and with my friends, and we were like, oh my God, they did that. They did that. And like, but also how today, when you go back and watch it, some people will say things like, oh, that's not that they wish they did more. And I'm like, no, you need to understand. This was a really big deal.
It was humongous.
Deal.
Yeah. The finale was crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember being so proud of Mike and Brian, not only the finale, but then on Tumblr the next day when they made it canon.
They owned that.
On Brian's Tumblr, I was like, oh. And shout out to Tumblr days, first of all.
It was everything I saw was, why are the lesbians holding hand in the light beam?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was so, it was humongous. I mean, it's hard as things go on. People don't always get to see things in the time and space in which they were created, but that time was humongous.
But that was also the kind of the conversation around that then. Like, that's when that had happened, you know, so many of the panels that I was doing when I was doing cons were really focused on that, and that was the number one thing that we all agreed upon, was like, isn't it going to be crazy in a few years when people are like, I don't get it. Why was that a big deal? Why is that a big deal? It's like, yes, we want to get to that point. Like, it's that even though we should learn from those who came before us, we must also forge our own path. It's, you know, yes, we can acknowledge the importance of this history, and at the same time, it's good and okay for people who are younger than us to go, well, why is that
a big deal? What's the big deal?
Yeah. You know?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to that episode very much.
Oh, I can't wait either.
Hey there. First off, Big fans.
What's your name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey. Two questions. First, you said fans. Do you speak to fans on the show? Is there a way to get on the show, or
how there, does that there is.
There is. What is the way? Is there a hotline?
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's a hotline. It's the signal you beam into the sky. No, we have a casting, sort of a casting director, I guess is the right
term.
Yeah. But yeah, and her name's Danielle, and she's wonderful. And she's been super active on the Avatar The Last Airbender YouTube channel for many years, and she tracks socials and stuff like that. And so if you want, like, you can write me, just Janet.
Slide in the DM?
No, don't DM me. It'll get lost. I don't even look at my Instagram DMs.
But
I'm too scared.
Don't slide into the DM.
Don't slide. Instead, pop into my email from my website, which is just janet@janetvarney.com, and like just remind, you know, just say, like, we met, I said I was at this con, I really want to be considered for one of the super fan shows, and then I send that along to Danielle, and she's very, very good about keeping a file and, like, following up with folks and stuff like that, so.
Right, awesome.
Yeah, hit us up.
And the second thing is I'm trying to become a voice actor.
Yes.
I'm already taking classes from Bloom Fox Studios.
Nice.
Awesome.
I'm already working on an audio series with several upcoming voice actors for as veteran voice actors, do you have any words of wisdom?
I mean, I think you're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's
so,
just...
Yeah.
You're studying, you're on the path, you're like... It's a lifestyle, man. It's a marathon. You know, there's no real, like, shortcuts to the game. It's kind of what you're doing and kind of build your resume and
well,
hopefully your work gets out there and gets noticed.
Well, in that case, Dante, I've noticed you put a lot of passion into Zuko. Do you have any life experiences that made you reach said passion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've been an actor for 37 years now, which is crazy. 37 years in a very hard business. And the thing about it is, what you realize when you play roles as an actor, voice actor, on-screen actor, you play the role where you and the character intersect, and that's where you play it. And with Zuko, yeah, I've had a lot of like ups and downs in my life, and even during the time I was playing Zuko, I was going through a lot of turmoil with personal things, and I think that kind of made its way into Zuko's DNA. And so, I mean, that's the good, you know, they say when you're in the industry, you have to have good luck, and good luck doesn't mean getting good, that's your job, that's what you're doing right now. The good luck and the good fortune is that the right character and the right actor meet at the right time where, you know, you could do, some magic could happen. So, thank you.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tyler. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
What's your name?
My name's Omari.
What's up, Omari?
Hi. My question is, if you could bend any element, which would it be and why?
Fire Nation, what are you talking about?
like in real life.
Thank you, Omari. Next question. No. Go ahead, Janet. What are you doing? She's the Avatar. She can do it all.
I don't have to pick. No, but I mean, I'm pretty water tribe when it all comes down to it. Also Earth, I think, for sure. I mean, I'm definitely like, I feel like I'm surrounded in my comedy life by Earthbenders. And I definitely got a thread of that running through, but
I mean, Earth is so everywhere. So Earth is definitely like Earth to be cool. There's metal all around us. I mean, you have to be high. You have to be a top tier, S tier, to be bending metal, I would think. So, but I mean, it's all. I mean, if you're by the water, water tribe is 100%.
Yeah. Let me just say, anybody who comes up with a tattoo that says Earth is everywhere, Dante Bosco.
Earth is everywhere.
I appreciate and question your commitment.
Earth is everywhere. But I'm Fire Nation forever.
What about you?
What about you? What you doing?
I guess, I don't know, maybe water or air. I'm not sure. It's hard.
You could be our one airbender.
Well, air's cool. I mean, of course everybody wants to fly.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
But no one really just understands that once you start up there flying, it's cold.
Yeah, that's why.
They don't realize. I mean, I ride motorcycles, and if you ride motorcycles, you know, once you start going at a certain speed, it's cold.
Yeah.
So, y'all don't know. Air nomads don't know. Like, you know, you need to be right apparel.
Yeah, right apparel. Nice to have an air bison. It's nice to have a little sky bison that you can snuggle
and
up to.
You can get there pretty fast, but it's, I mean, I'm sure Appa was tired.
Yeah, Appa gets very tired.
It's a
we
long
know this.
Ride. I'm not gonna. I mean,
we know this.
Even if you can get from like, you know, across the country in 6 hours, like an airplane,
That's still a long time. Like, when's the last time you walked 6 hours anywhere? Nowhere. I've never walked 6 hours.
Is it the chase? The chase where we just see Appa and everyone is just exhausted?
It's exhausted. You probably have to, like, at least fly as much energy as it takes to walk or run. And you can't run for 6 hours.
And then also, like, I don't know how much energy you get from hay. But it seems like you have to eat a lot to be able to fly across the world.
But I mean, shout out to Air Nomad. Shout out to Air Nomad.
Yeah. Thanks, Omari. Great
you're
question.
You're welcome. And no, I'm actually a Zuko and gin shipper.
You're a what?
Zuko and gin shipper.
Oh, gin. Yeah. Oh, me too. Yes. Shout out to gin.
Gin.
I think so Zuko had to go. I think that's one of his first things as Fire Lord. He had to, like, go find gin.
Yeah.
And, I could have also seen Sokka with Ty Lee.
Yeah. I like Sokka.
I feel that. Yeah.
Sokka gets all the girls. Sokka gets all the girls.
He does I.
He does, yeah.
He does I.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have like, a question for both of you.
What's your name?
Ben.
Hi,
what's
Ben.
What's up, Ben?
Sorry we're forcing everyone. We just
no,
like
we want
to
know your names. Ben, the two of us need the...
Anyway, speaking of force, I think we all kind of know that Dave Filoni did a lot of episodes of the first season of Avatar. Dante, do you know if Mike and Brian kept in touch with Dave after he went to Star Wars and when Korra took off? Because I don't know like to what extent Dave like went back to Avatar after his...
But Filoni?
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely stay in touch. Like, we wanted him for the podcast real bad, and he wanted to do it, but his Star Wars schedule is insane.
Maybe we'll catch him. Maybe we'll catch up.
But we're never giving up. We're going to ask him every season.
I know, like,
multiple
Filoni,
times.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, Filoni, he's a cool dude. Like, he worked, obviously, on the early stuff with Avatar. I ended up working with him again when I did Rebels. I played Jaikel. And, of course, we had, like, all the... We took pictures and sent it to the Avatar guys just because...
And then you did the Galaxy of Adventure voiceovers, too, right?
Which one?
The Galaxy of Adventure?
I do, yeah. I host the Galaxy of Adventure stuff. And so I'm around Filoni. And Filoni, he's still part of the Avatar family. I mean, he's the keeper of the lore of Star Wars. That's a big job.
Yep.
But, yeah, he goes back. I think he's, you know, he's multifaceted, multi-fandom kind of guy.
Meanwhile, I just finished the latest Spidey, Across the Spideyverse, and I knew that I was going to see Joaquin's name at the end, and I still, like, shouted. He directed it. Yeah, he co-directed it.
Oh, wow.
And I lost my mind. Even though I knew it was coming, I was still like, yeah!
Amazing.
And I guess, sorry, everyone.
No worries. It's insulated.
Yeah.
And for Janet, back in Korra Season 3, you mentioned that the Red Lotus tried to kidnap Korra when she was younger. Did Mike and Brian ever go for you a story of what would timeline be like if that actually worked and she was Zaheer's adopted daughter?
That's a great question. I'd be very excited to, speaking of multiverses.
Multiverse.
I would love to see that play out.
Because
I feel like there's a version of Korra that's Kuvira, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's sort of these... The DNA of how you become who you are, you know, there's just ways that all of that maps out.
I feel like Korra could have went to the dark side.
I mean...
You know. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
More so than Aang.
I thought you were going to say more so than Zuko, and I was going to be like, oh, hold up.
Zuko, I know, and Uncle Iroh. You need Uncle Iroh.
Yeah.
But Korra definitely could lean to the dark side if she...
Yeah. She went through a lot.
She went through some stuff.
She went through a lot. No, that's a great idea, Ben. Write it.
No, the thing is, I read a fan fiction that did it better than I ever could, so it's like, I just want to see if you knew anything about it.
No, I haven't read that fan fiction, but I'm super curious, because that would be, that's such a great side story.
Right.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jay.
Hey, Jay.
I just want to say I loved you in the debut. That's a really deep cut.
Thank you so much.
I'm Filipino, though.
Hey, man, shout out to the community. What's going on?
And shout out to Fabulous Filipino
Fabulous
Brothers,
Filipino
which
Brothers.
Is my Dante's
new
movie with his bros. Yeah. I love that movie so much.
My new
Watch
Filipino
it.
Film, yeah.
So good.
And I also want to say Korra is the best Avatar. You can find me on that. That might be a hot take for some people.
They're all the same Avatar, Jay. They're all
that's true. That's
the
true.
Same.
That is very true.
But you relate to Korra's journey, or you appreciate it, because it was,
My question is, with your respective series, is there something that in the show that you wish was taken away or changed, or is there something you wish they did with your character or a different character?
I mean, We've already established that I'm the straight-A student that can say no ill about our two dads. So yeah. I've always sort of leaned into the trust of, like, really feeling like... Because when you spend time around them, and if you listen to the podcast, like, they just have such a specific vision.
Right.
And they have the receipts. You know what I mean? Like, they can back up every single choice. And as you're listening, you're like, yep, no, that's fair enough. Like, that's, totally. You know... So I'm trying to think, like, I'm such a goody two-shoes that I'm like, is there anything they said they would do differently?
Yeah, I think that sometimes as actors, too, like, always, like, your job as an actor is not necessarily to question anything. It's really to just make work what is ever there. Like, that's always our job. Sometimes new actors are trying to change things. Like, hold on, maybe I don't, like...
I don't think my...
Like, you can go back to Shakespeare and be like, hold on, what if he didn't kill...
Yeah.
Like, there's no discussion with the classics. It's just you take the text, and your job is to make this work.
Yeah.
Your job is not to kind of change it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. But that being said, we did learn from... No, that's how we... And many of you know this from reading Brian's Tumblr and stuff like that, or, like, listening to the commentary, but knowing that there was not really going to be a Zuko, right? That it was just going to kind of be the Fire Lord and these kids fighting the Fire Lord, and that... In the process of beginning the show, that it came to be that he was going to be, there was going to be a teenage boy antagonist that would be, you know, it's like you think about that and you're like, oh man, or if Toph had been a dude,
or Toph,
you know,
dude,
like some of that stuff that did need the entire team to come to be what it is now. I am so glad that, you know, that those decisions were made early on.
But that being said, the things that I would want to see, people are like, what would you want to see? And I want to see, I always go, man, I want to see young Uncle Iroh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want, like, a Dragon of the West show. Because I think it's like...
That's going to be a tough watch in some ways, maybe.
It's a tough watch, yeah, because I think he becomes so sageful and becomes someone we all love, but I think the pendulum swings. For him to get here, obviously he was the Dragon of the West in the darkest time of the Fire Nation, and he had to do some things that he had to wrestle with to get here, and I would like to see... that. And then he's also, you know, you see my uncle with his shirt off. That guy. That guy gets some work done. So young Uncle Iroh had to put in the reps. I'd like to see him get down in his youth.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, I don't know. I just think the show's perfect. I just wanted to know if, like...
Okay, good. So you,
You threw
something at us that even you could,
bring it to the Avatar
verse. Azula as Fire Lord a little
longer. Whoa, whoa.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jake. Hi, I'm Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
I've had the pleasure of watching Avatar and part of Korra, because we're right in the middle of it with my 14-year-old daughter. And I'm really struck by how much both of those shows are about... teenagers and young people finding themselves and finding their place in the world and, you know, the struggles that Korra goes through and Zuko. And also being a fan of Janet's JV Club podcast, I feel like it all kind of works in such beautiful synchronicity. So I just wondered, specifically Janet, like, what was it like doing Korra and your podcast? Like, did you find a lot of parallels? And
yeah, for sure. And that was just one of those weird synergistic things that happened. I had wanted to do a podcast. This is now like a dozen years ago or something. And I was like, oh, everyone has a podcast, which is so adorable now to think back on and think that. But I've been doing this podcast forever. I interview famous people about their teenage years, and we talk about other stuff too, but I've had a ton of people from both the Avatar shows, and I highly recommend you seek those episodes out, because they are a gem. There's definitely one with my man, and it's great. It's a great conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I auditioned for Korra, and there she was, a teenager. And I just have a lot of sympathy for that period of time, and I feel super close to it still. And I feel closer to being a teenager than I do to my 20s. Like, I don't know why that's true, but maybe it's because of all the feelings that you're having as you're figuring out who you are and, like, being stuck in environments that you don't feel as free from escaping if you want to, like you can when you're a little bit older. But I just love talking about that, and I love hearing from people that age now, and like I just love it.
Because also, you know, I'm a grown-up kid actor.
But yeah.
The kid actors have a fraternity that we grew up. You know, you came on screen and people got to know about you, and your adolescent years are forever.
Yeah, that
like,
seems hard.
Capsulized.
That and, seems really hard.
Yeah, and then you do it for a long time because, like, I think I played a teenager for like 20 years. And so there's a big part of the world that are very attached to my adolescence.
Sure.
And it's always a fascinating concept because you're like, I mean, I'm old as hell now. Like,
I don't know. You still just look like Rufio to me.
I mean, yeah, I'm
right?
from Neverland.
I mean,
a lot of pixie dust. A lot of pixie dust.
You put a little red
me,
in your hair. Down. Get some skate gloves on.
But it's such a fascinating time in life that people kind of, it just kind of molds a lot of what happens in the future. It's like the seeds are right there.
Absolutely.
And so it's a fascinating. I think that's why yeah. I love your JV Club podcast also.
And it's just a way of getting to know people, like, you know, people like that you think of as being super together and like, oh, they're so famous, how could they have ever, and then you hear, like, you know, I'll never forget when Alison Brie said, and then I peed my pants in front of everyone at the gymnastics
wow.
competition as a teenager. I was like,
wow.
Oh my God.
That's
this podcast is
crazy.
Gold.
That's crazy.
Yeah. There's some good ones. There's some good moments.
At the gymnastic competition?
Yeah.
You can't even hide it. There's no hiding.
Openly, everyone knew that she had peed herself. I love it. Own it. We own it. We own those vulnerabilities. That's what makes
that
us
in the movie.
Connect.
Can we shoot that?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
What's up, Cora? Slash
Hi, Marie. How are you?
How are you doing?
Hi.
Good. So, two-part question. As someone who's on their voiceover journey,
yes.
What is something that you would go back and tell yourself when you were first starting out?
By the way, I just want to quickly say, and I hope you don't mind that I'm going to out you on this, but this is somebody who hated the sound of their own voice. How beautiful is that voice? We're just so hard on ourselves. It's such a beautiful. I want to listen to that voice. That's
yeah,
butter.
It's nice.
Okay, sorry. I don't
no,
even remember the question. All I was thinking about was how beautiful your voice was. So that is going to be a problem. You're going to have to say everything twice in life because everyone's just going to be thinking, what a beautiful voice.
Thank you so much.
What did
much.
You say? You start.
I mean, early. I mean, it's always still now. It's like when you're acting, you know, it's always trying to get back into like a real moment, like get there, get to a place, because we can all act, we have a lot of technique and we do a lot of things, but then sometimes you're just trying to get and serve, you're trying to serve the material in the best way you can. And so sometimes when you're acting in certain scenes, you get to a place of like, I would say it's a truthful place as an actor and with the material, and then when you hit those spots, it's like, yeah, remember, like, this is what it feels like when you kind of hit the right. It's like music, like the right chord in music. It's like, oh, here we are. And then you want to work from there.
The sweet spot.
The sweet spot, right. And yeah. So always remind yourself, even though you're working, you're trying to just do what you're doing. But just be aware that there is a place to get to in there. And remember what that feels like in your body, because when it comes back, it's like, it's just a good anchor point.
And for me, I think, too, like, because we both do a lot of on-screen stuff as well, I'm still more insecure about doing voiceover, which in some ways seems, like, kind of antithetical to what you would expect, because it seems like there's more to have to worry about when it's your whole self. But with voiceover still, because it came second, because I was doing on-camera stuff first, I still kind of get, I feel an insecurity about it. Where
you can get analytical about
it. You can get analytical. You can, yeah, you
the
don't,
best acting
yeah,
is when
you're
not,
not,
when yeah. you're not looking and thinking,
yes.
when you're looking and thinking yourself when you're acting, you're, you know, like, well, I'm not doing good.
For sure, and, but with voiceover, you're looking at a script,
right.
So you can't ever escape that. So you have to, like,
you
find a way to
on
get,
your voice, too.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm concentrating too much
yeah.
on what I sound
is
like.
Are my lips too dry? Is yeah. Am I breathing too
All
hard into the microphone?
This is too real.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thing. So I think, yeah, finding that sweet spot, it might be a different process, or it might take longer, with certain things. But yeah, when I get an acting job on camera, I never think I'm going to get fired. But for sometimes some reason with voiceover, I'm like, they're not going to want this. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like
I
a real...
I think I'll get fired every gig I ever do still. I'm like,
you know, there's
not
never...
too late to fire me, you guys.
There's never a great time to tell your podcast co-host you're like, kicking him out of the podcast.
Let him buy.
There's never a great time, but...
It's been a good run, you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. So some of that doesn't go away, but that's part of it. That's part of the... Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Good luck on the journey.
Thank you. Second part is just, what was your favorite memory of recording? Like, what's your favorite moment?
Man.
What can you think of?
Oh, many.
There's no one.
Over years, because it takes place over years.
Sure.
And so you're like, what were you doing? I mean, there's... Yeah. It always is, it's always, for me, it's always connected to the people I got to work with that day.
Sure.
It's like meeting Mark Hamill for the first time is phenomenal, because he's Luke Skywalker. And so you're just like, the fanboy comes out.
Yeah.
Like, not literally inside.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, like, you know, working with Jason Isaacs, a big Harry Potter fan, and he's like behind you, and it's like Lucius Malfoy like yelling at you, and like, damn.
Yeah.
So things like that are really phenomenal. But then also the you know, I watched Mae Whitman grow up, who's now, I mean, now she's an adult and just a phenomenal actress, but I've known her since she was 12, and to see her kind of grow up and drive for the first time to the booth, and I'm like, you drove her by yourself? You know, what are you doing? So like that, and Jack, I saw Jack grow up from like high school to like now he's a father, and I'm like,
yeah.
And we spent so much time in the studio together with like the gang. It's really, that's what it's part of your life. Like when you do a show and it goes over years, you like have all these seasons, like these of life, seasons of life together, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing that we get to kind of keep that alive by getting to do events and stuff. And that's part of the reason we did the podcast, is we're like, we can rope everyone back in, talk to them all the time. Now I get to do improv with Jack. And, you know, that's like a cross-generational show thing that I'm like, yes, like, this is my favorite. Cora wants to hang out with Sokka. Are you kidding me? Of course she does, you know? So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Renny.
Hello, my name is Kofi.
What's your name?
Kofi.
Kofi.
Kofi?
Kofi.
First, I just wanted to say thank you, because you guys have contributed a lot to my childhood. I just wanted to let you know, as well as
Man,
childhood.
Thank you.
Other people here. This is more of a question for Dante, because I've also seen you in Blood and Bone.
Yes, sir.
As well as Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yes.
Playing Zuko. So I wanted to ask you, like, what was like the big difference between acting and like both of those roles? Because I know like voice acting is very different from like on-camera acting, but did you approach the roles like the same or with different mentality?
Well, for me, it's like... you know, I started like Janet too. We started on screen, and so the voice acting kind of came later. But if you watch like Jake Long, the American Dragon, other things I do voiceover, it's pretty much still my same voice. So I'm maybe the worst voice actor in the world.
Or the best.
Or the best.
Change a thing.
Or the best. We don't know. But for me, it's the same process I do on camera or on microphone. I'm really just doing. I'm just acting. It's the same thing that you learn acting class, as far as character work and the things you're doing, and tapping into certain parts of your life and where that, like again, where that character and where you intersect. Like, I mean, you know, troubled teen that's gone through some stuff and going. That definitely Zuko. I've been through all that, and still, I always play that, and I've got to play the redeemable kind of kid for so long, and I hope that's in me. Hope it's in all. I think that's why he's so popular. I think that's in a little bit in all of us. But with like pinball. In Blood and Bone, if you haven't seen Blood and Bone, this is a movie, Michael Jai White, and this is like this really amazing martial arts film, like a bare knuckle kind of combat film, where all these martial artists were doing films that are kind of a reaction to all the Hong Kong wire work, which is really beautiful and spectacular, but these are like kind of like American fighters doing it with no wire work, just showing actually how fast and how amazing of martial artists they are in real life. And it's all about kind of like bare knuckle brawls and like the alleys and stuff like that. And I played the manager of one of the guys named Pinball, but he's hella ghetto. My guy is.
It was funny. He was hilarious.
My dude is, and they got me going. Like they wrote me saying some crazy stuff. I probably get canceled for saying these days. But I'm also grew up in the neighborhood. Like when they offered me the gig, like, can Dante do this? And I was like, hold up, Dante grew up like right outside of Compton. Like there's another town called Paramount. That's where I grew up. And I grew up in black and Latino neighborhoods, and there's a version of me that's me. Like, that's where I'm from. Those are the people I grew up with. These, like, I'm from the hood. Like, and so when I got to play that character, people were like, oh, I didn't know this dude could like really go there. And I was like, it's not even going there. That's like not going, it's going back to where I'm from. It's not even going anywhere else. It's like going home. So it's fun to that I get to do all different kind of flavors on screen and kind of bring different worlds that I've been a part of my whole life. Or I'm playing like a Filipino community and bringing my family and that part of my life. And just with pinballs, like just the neighborhood that I grew up in and the people I grew up, like the homies I grew up with, like trying to represent that for a little bit is really wonderful to me also. And fun, and fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great question. What's up, Ty Lee?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Looking good, Ty Lee.
Thank you. I'm trying. So my question is regarding Azula. I was wondering, do you think she deserved a redemption arc, or
That's the question. We did a whole episode about this same situation.
Oh, you did an episode already?
Yeah,
oh.
You should check it out. But it's such a great question and so fascinating to think about, right?
Yeah. Well, that was a conversation that we had through the course of the podcast, was like calling someone a villain and then having the conversation about calling them an adversary instead and trying not to be kind of so one note. Although I would say that, like, the except for Zuko, and one of the things that makes Zuko so special, and yes, sure, Jet, and some other folks in the first series, but you know, like Ozai, we don't have a lot of questions about, you know, his redeeming qualities. Yeah. Azula, there's a question mark there, in part, I think, because we know where she came from, and we saw what it did to both siblings, right, and kind of how they responded based on how they were being treated and stuff. And it's a great question.
I think they're both children of abuse, and you get to see one sibling go one way and the other sibling go the other way. I think as like I'm a sibling. Like, I have 5 brothers and sisters, and just as that, like, you want to see redeem. You want to see, you know, your siblings. Yeah. You want to see that redeemability.
It's hard.
Zuma went over the edge, though. She went over the edge. She went too far.
She
went too far.
You see that happening in real life, that feeling that Zuko has with her, where he keeps wanting to trust her, and you see that, I think, in families where sometimes somebody's just, whether that's their development or it's a little of both with what their brain chemistry is when they're born, they keep, you know, the family's like, I will always love this kid, but like this kid keeps doing XYZ. So it's really hard to say. I think whatever happened to Azula, I'm concerned that it happened early enough that the most sympathy I feel for her is that I don't feel like she gets to feel joy.
Let's be honest.
She doesn't get to feel any joy. She doesn't get to really connect with someone and trust someone and feel that.
I feel like, let's go back to the first time we see her. It's like the end of like book one or something like that. And they like pan to her and she just has that devilish smile on her face.
Her version of satisfaction is the pain of other people. And that's really, that's really sad.
She's my little sister. She's my younger sister. She's the younger.
About that in the show.
She's like, doesn't care. She's the younger sister. She has no respect for Zuko at all. I mean, she got that blue lightning. She's always trying to flex that blue lightning.
Poor Zuzu.
Drained a lot. Where's she at? And, I do want to see the sibling, but then I want the redemption in my mind just as a humanistic thing, and I think it would be beautiful. But then Brian, who one of the creators, was like, well, maybe she's Joker. Maybe she'd become, Joker within the DC world is like, maybe she's just becomes
like too far gone.
Yeah, and the ultimate like relish. We all love the Joker too. And like, I don't know, do we want to see the Joker get redeemed? He's like, he's the Joker, and maybe she's becomes the Joker. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Yeah. We don't know.
Do you think you could see anything like in the future? Maybe, possibly a redemption arc happening somewhere in the future?
Because in the books we see her
mental health goes off.
She does have a sort of, yeah.
She goes off the deep end.
No, no.
So
we'll wait and see.
The great thing is the Avatar verse is expanding, so I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
So we do only have time for one more audience.
Oh, no, we have 2 more.
We got time for 2.
Thank you. Thank you again so much.
Thank you. We'll do 2 more.
Well, we get 2 more.
We'll just be quick.
We'd love to.
Hi. My name's Rob. So one of the things I know you guys did for a long time was go through a lot of the episodes and kind of analyze a lot of them, like from start to finish. when you kind of examine like Zuko's character coming from being, you know, this exalted prince to becoming a banished prince to becoming a complete nobody within Ba Sing Se, do you ever feel like they have some regrets on whether or not to have explored Zuko being completely normal within Ba Sing Se, like experiencing the life of being like a normal teenager and kind of having that weigh on him as he gets towards that point?
That's a really good point. Again. Rob, I think you might have just hit the nail on the head of something I kind of do wish would have been, that sort of goes back to maybe Jay, your question. Like, I would have loved, because I remember saying that when they're serving tea and he has that perfect day with Iroh, right, of just serving tea, and like there's so much joy and pride, yeah,
and it
lasts no time at all. So I think you're right. I mean, part of that would be perhaps having to understand what it feels like to be a regular person, yeah, in a context in which you suddenly start seeing your actions of the past in this new way.
I think Ba Sing Se, the tales of Ba Sing Se, we get a little glimpse of that with him going on the date with Jin, and like we get I love that episode, that, or at least that part of the episode, because you gotta get to see him just as a teenager doing what teenagers do, going on a date, be nervous, and he
uses fire to create something beautiful.
Yeah.
And soft,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
lovely, you know.
I mean, you know, Zuko.
That's such a great question, Rob.
He wants to be regular, but he's just not a regular person.
Yeah,
he's a royalty kid. He's a prince.
Yeah,
I'm sure if we talked to Prince Harry and all them, they want to just be regular for a day or two, yeah, too. But guess what, Harry? Yeah. The world's on your
that
butt.
That wooden ship has
that's
sailed.
Gone. We're following you. We're trying to find out what's going on.
I mean, to follow up on that, I mean, when you kind of analyze both into Zuko's and Iroh's situation, especially when you start getting into Iroh's son, especially during,
yeah,
Tales of Ba Sing Se, do you ever feel like the plot twist should have been that Iroh's son just yeeted out of the army and they just pretended to die and he was actually there the whole time?
Whoa, that's you're crazy. Blowing my mind right now.
And like have that kind of like boil over to everything where Zuko has
maybe
kind
he's
of, like,
back. Maybe he comes back later and the blue spirit returns and we think it's Zuko, but it's actually Iroh's son that comes back to do some.
Oh my god.
I'm writing new stuff now too. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Oh no.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Okay, last one.
Last question.
And I don't even remember if you told me your name. I just think of you as Amity's dad.
Amity's dad.
Sure, you can go by that. Also, Jay.
Yeah.
Well, so first, I wanted to thank both of you because both of your shows made me being a dad so much easier. But the question I had, and you guys can answer it really quick, was there a particular episode or scene that each of you voiced that either because of the episode itself or because of the emotion that you drew upon was very difficult for you to get through?
I remember a heavy episode, like I'm on the, when Zuko's on the mountain, he's yelling at the wind and he's screaming, and I just remember being at a certain point in my life and talking and being in the middle of shooting something else and going through a lot of madness that, I mean, it wasn't hard. You kind of, the thing as an actor, the great thing is everyone's mad, everyone's emotional, if you sit there a while and you look at people, everyone is on the brink of tears that many times in a lot. We just don't, as regular people walking around, we don't have the permission to feel all these feelings, right? As actors, we have the permission to do this. And so that's one of our jobs. We're like, that's the one good thing is like, we can just go, yeah, today I want to lose it. Today I want to lose it with anger or lose it with tears. And so it's not really hard to get to. It's just the permission to feel the things that you are feeling and having a place to like let it out.
Couldn't have said it better. Completely agree. Yeah, the hard stuff is the kind of the best stuff when you get to let it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
A great group. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
I did want to congratulate you on your engagement.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
If you guys have not done so already, they will be at their tables.
Yeah, come say
hi.
That's true.
We'll
be at our tables.
All right. Thank you all.
See you at the table. All right.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.
been watching The Angry Geek Show on PodTV. Visit our website today. And for guest bookings, email us at theangrygeekshow@gmail.com today.